Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Happy Monday morning to you, this 14th day of April, 2025. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show on this Monday. And Mello is here. Hi, Mello. Uh-oh. Can't hear you.
I meant good morning.
There you are. Okay. So I had Jack Lancaster scheduled to come on today, but Jack is under the weather.
Bummer.
He texted me yesterday and said, I don't think I'm going to make it. And I'm like, dude, take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take care of the radio. No problem, man. So
yeah, hope he's feeling better.
And Melody has graciously agreed to come hang out with us.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for coming.
Yeah, anytime.
You came in on Friday. And your face hurt.
Oh, a little bit.
And I was like, wait, what? Your face hurts? Why would your face? Did you get sunburned? No. Well, sort of, kind of. Yeah. She purposely, tell us about what you did.
So I have a friend who's an esthetician, and I've been meaning to do this for about a year.
Okay.
And it's a chemical peel.
Chemical peel. So
yeah.
You put chemicals on your face.
I think it's a vitamin A chemical peel. Yes. So what she does is, and it burns. It burns. So she washes your face really good, and then she puts this, chemical peel on your face and puts a layer, but because it burns, she hands you a fan so you can hold a fan on your face to like ease the pain, and then it sets for about 3 minutes, and then she goes a little deeper, so she does another layer.
Oh.
And then she does that 3 or 4 times, and your face is on fire. And then she gets this other one with a different type of chemical, and I have some darker spots. I have olive skin, and I used to worship the sun with baby oil when I was a teenager, so I've got spots.
Yeah.
So she calls it frosting, and then she just kind of goes in a little deeper. So, like, my darker spots weren't dark, they were black. And now they've kind of sloughed off, and then that whole layer of skin peels off. So if you see me today, my face is kind of flaking.
I got a couple of things here. All right. Number one, first of all, you're inflicting pain purposefully on yourself.
That's valid.
That's not something I would want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I try not to do that. The other thing is, Mel, I've known you for, how long have you been hanging out? A year and a half?
Like
2 years?
I think like 2 years-ish. Yeah.
I never noticed any spots on your face.
I know. Well, I have really good makeup. Il Maquillage is what I use, and it covers a lot of it.
I don't know what that is, but okay.
Yeah, it's a good makeup.
If that works, why isn't that good enough to not have to inflict pain upon yourself?
Well, if I can lighten them, then it makes my everyday morning routine easier, and then
okay.
I can even go without makeup, which was what I would love to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, as you get older, you just kind of, I want to manage it as I age.
Okay.
So, you know, okay. I did that for myself, and it hurts. But the worst thing
is, it still
hurts. It's just really dry, so you can like feel your face kind of like when you move it a little bit.
Mm.
But what was really bad was it was so red that my face was swollen. So and I didn't get much sleep the night before I came in, and I looked down from my eye socket, I could see my cheek, and it was I felt like that guy on Hitch when he had that allergic reaction. His face blew up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's what I felt like. But I'm feeling so much better today.
Or if any of you are Big Bang Theory fans, and anytime Howard Wolowitz eats something peanut related, he blows up like that too.
Yeah.
Well, it did not. You came in after, not long after, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't look like it was that swollen. Maybe a little, but not a lot.
Oh, so. it was really swollen.
But
I think like the second day, it was like, wow, like nice. What have you done to my skin?
Nice. The things, the price, at what cost beauty, right? The price of trying to be beautiful. Us guys have no concept of that. We're like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to get up and put some water in my hair and, you know, brush my teeth and call it good. I mean, we're seriously.
I know. And I don't think it's the men judging women, because I've seen people with the eyelashes, and I wouldn't do the eyelashes, so I'm not super into that. But
pretty popular.
I think it's women judging ourselves. I don't think it's necessarily the men judging us and making us feel like we need to. I think it's as we age, we feel less attractive, so we're trying to do what we can to feel a little more attractive, I think.
I remember one time my wife got dressed real nice for work one day, like extra nice. You know how, I mean, you have every day nice, and then you have like extra nice, and I'm like, what's going on? Because I always thought she kind of dressed up for me. I'm her sweetheart, you know. I was way off base. I had no concept. She doesn't dress up for me.
know? No, but you are wise to mention, and you shouldn't say, what are you looking good for? You say, wow, you look really nice today.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
I mean, you look fantastic. Yeah, I always tell her.
Good.
I'm good. You know, we all have our, what is it, the love languages people talk about? Mine is definitely, not mine to me, but mine that I give out is I compliment. I'm very good at that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So
usually the one you give is the one you like to receive.
It's probably true, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't get very many. I give, but I don't get. I need to work on that
there
one, I
guess.
There you go. I saw this story. This was on the wire today. The cost of raising children in the United States.
Mm.
What would you guess is the cost of raising children? I'm not talking about, like, the hospital bill for having a child. Just the cost of raising a child from 0 to 18. What do you think that would
be? The economy, I don't know. I'm guessing they're going to say like $100,000, but I have no idea.
You are way low. $300,000. Raising a child from 0 to 18. $300,000. And that, when you say 18, that does not include college tuition and things like that. That's,
oh my gosh.
But you have an 8-year-old right now?
I do.
And then you still have a 15-year-old at home too, right?
Yes.
So you are in the midst of two of those $300,000 things, and so in 2023 it was only about $220,000. So it's gone up $80,000 in the last 2 years, year and a half.
My goodness!
So when you think about it, so the thing I was thinking, okay, money, sure, that's big. It costs a lot more money, but think about the sacrifices that you make for a child, the things you give up, the things that you do. I mean, I don't think anybody that has not had kids or hasn't had them yet, I don't think they have any concept of what, how your life changes. But I mean, it's one thing, and you fall in love with someone, you marry them, you sacrifice for them, you compromise for them. But when a child comes along, that child is 100% wholly, especially the first couple of years, dependent on you. That means anything you wanted to do, watch a ball game or, you know, go out to eat, those things are, you know, you don't get those anymore. You give them up.
I know. I know that's what they say. I don't agree with that, because I think that if people waited till they had enough money to have children, then nobody would have children.
Okay.
So I think that you make do with what you have, because there's obviously people that would never have made 300, 600, 900,000, and they have 3 or 4 kids. So it's what you just, I kind of, like, because I have 7 kids, and kind of what you do is you divide it a little.
You make
more.
It work.
You just divide it more, and you make it work. And when somebody has something coming up, then you sacrifice and you make it so you have the funds for whatever that person's doing, and everybody gets a turn, I think.
Except mom.
Except mom. That's true. And that's why now I'm taking care of my face.
You finally get a chance to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Although why you would inflict that much pain on yourself, I don't understand.
Yeah. I have a high pain tolerance.
Mm. Weird thing up on the interstate on the Saturday. I didn't know it was Friday. Anyway, there were two different fires, one at milepost 18, the other at milepost 24, wildfires. Now, fortunately, we have really great, I think it was Hurricane Valley Fire Department that responded on both of those, but we have really great first responders, and they knocked the fire down quickly. But in both instances, the fire department said these were human cause.
What?
They stopped short of saying they were intentionally human cause. It could have been, you know, a car pulled off into the weeds with a hot muffler and started a fire that way or something. But they were both human cause. And I got to thinking, like, why? Who? If it was a car and it was unintentional, yeah, but wouldn't you even at least notice and call the authorities right away? They didn't. Or if it was intentional, why? And it seems like it was intentional because there were two set at the same time or within a half an hour of each other, 6 miles apart.
That's so interesting.
So
I'm sure they found something, right?
Yeah. Well, they won't tell us. The investigation is ongoing, is what they said.
You need to get Nanette on here and find out what happened.
Yeah, for sure. Well, actually, Bill Hoster is the I think he's chairman of the board of the Hurricane Valley Fire Department. We even get Bill to give us the dirty lowdown.
Yes.
Right? A couple of other things out of the news. Oh, man, did you hear about this? So there was a car that has stalled on the tracks, the front runner tracks in Springville.
No, I didn't hear that.
And this is a wild story. So the car was on the tracks. The owner of the car was like, I'm going to get it started. So they kept cranking it, trying to get the car started while the train is bearing down.
No way.
So, you know, I mean, my instinct, you don't want your car to be totaled and you don't want the train maybe to crash, maybe go off the track, something bad to happen. But you got to think about your life, right? Well, this person wasn't getting out of their car, and so finally, someone waiting on the other side of the arm, you know, not in harm's way, went and ran over with the train bearing down, grabbed the person out of the car, pulled them to safety just seconds before the train hit car. Now, the another interesting part of this story. So, first of all, that guy was a hero. Way to go! Yeah. Amazing. The other hero, the train engineer, actually saw what was happening and braked. Now, he wasn't going to stop in time, and he knew that. But he knew that he could buy a few seconds if he could slow the train down a little bit.
Wow.
So he slammed the brakes. I want to just read this statement from the Department of Utah Department of Transportation. He said, let's see. The railway, it is not normal to slow as fast and as safely as he did. I guess it was a straightaway, so that helped. But, man, oh, man, this train engineer bought. Think about it. If he hadn't bought 3 or 4 seconds before it struck the car, that hero who pulled the person, I think it was a lady, pulled the lady out, wouldn't have had time to do that. And there would be we'd be talking about a fatality right now.
Wow. I know. So, I wonder, I don't know what I would do. I think I would let my car go and I would get out. But also, what about, putting your car in neutral and trying to push it or, just
Yeah, you know, it was an SUV, was a woman. So for me, I'm like, I don't know if she could have done that.
I'd be worried there were kids in the car.
Yeah, well, yeah, fortunately, nobody else was in the car. But, can you imagine that? There's a kid in a car seat. You know how hard car seats are to get out sometimes.
Oh, gosh.
That would have been horrible, but
every time we used to go over a bridge, and we lived on the East Coast, we'd go over the Baltimore Bridge. Every time we would go over the bridge, my ex-husband would say, "So which kid would you grab if we went over the edge?"
Oh,
that's what he would say. So I already had a fear of bridges. And then he's like, "You know what? You should save yourself and I'll get all the kids." I'm like, oh.
Well, they tell you, in case of a plane crash, put your mask on yourself first and then help your child. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hope I never have to experience trying to do that or anything like that. But
terrifying.
There is a picture, by the way, on Deseret.com of the car that was hit by the train. And, there would have not been any survivors had that person still been in the car. So,
how terrifying.
Yeah. Cool story, though, in that they called him a citizen hero, the one that pulled the lady out of the car and saved her life, and a minor hero in the train engineer for slowing down enough to give them time to do that.
Yeah, so everyone was working in that together.
Very cool story, I think. All right, a couple of other things from, let me see, in the local news. St. George's Police Department is looking for police officers. Now, it's very expensive to send to train someone that has no police background to post. They call it post. It's Peace Officer Standards and Training, the academy, basically. So the SCPD is actually looking for people that have already gone through post, people that maybe work for another agency or even an out-of-state agency where they could acquire a waiver secure a waiver from post to work for them. I thought that was interesting. You cannot be a police officer without going through the academy.
Mm-hmm. Is there an age limit? Because I know in the military there's an age restriction.
That I do not know. I don't think there is, but I think you have to be able to pass the PT, the physical physical test, the training test. So, you could be my age, but you better be able to climb 3 flights of stairs with someone on your back, which I could not do.
No.
Not a chance. So, tonight is the Lone Star concert. I apologize. I do not have tickets to Lone Star. I wish I did to give away. But the rest of this week on this show, starting tomorrow, it's the Patriotic Concert featuring Nathan Pacheco tomorrow night. Wednesday night, Lee Greenwood. Thursday and Friday is the Big America 250 pageant. All of that I do have tickets to. So not today, but starting tomorrow, I'll be giving away a ton of tickets for all those things. So there's also a free concert in the park tonight, Closure at 7:30. That's I'm pretty sure it's Vernon Northern Park. Isn't that where the concert in the park is?
I believe so.
Yeah. So if you want music tonight, there's music available.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah, even for free. Okay, where are we going next on this? I guess I wanted to talk a little bit. Let's talk about families first. Now, we were talking how much it costs to raise a child. They did a poll. This is a Gallup poll this year. So it was done just a couple of months ago. They asked people, what do you think is the ideal number of children for a family to have? And the results were interesting to me. First of all, let's start at the bottom. 2% of people said 5, 6 or more, and 0.
Ooh, that's an interesting correlation there.
Now, you have a lot of kids. You have 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had 5. Mm-hmm. I have 5. Had. No, they're still with it. I have 5. I just killed one of my kids. Shame on me. So, obviously, you and I are like, yeah, we're the 2%. We're up there. But the big percentages, so the number of people that said a family should be one child has gone up. It was 2% like the others. It's now 3%.
Okay.
So, a lot of folks are starting to go, yeah, one's good. The biggest, by far, the biggest number, biggest percentage, 44% of all respondents said the ideal family, the ideal number of children is 2.
2?
2 children, yeah. Second place was 3 with 29%. It's white text on green background.
That's
so it's
so hard to read.
29%. And then 12% said 4. And so this story written by Annie Holmquist, it's in intellectualtakeout.org, talks about having kids. How many kids should you have and why? And Annie has several kids herself. I think she has 4. And she says, you know, here's the thing. Everybody talks about the negativity of having a lot of kids. Brandon Hansen comes on. He said he was on with a lady from Oregon who wanted to move to Southern Utah. And they were talking about families, and she has one child, I think. And she said, how many kids do you have? And, well, Brandon has 7.
Mm-hmm.
And she, when he told her that, she got this, she gave him some attitude.
Yeah.
She's like, how dare you? How dare you ruin our world by having so many children?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Mean.
I don't know. Brandon and I are friends, but we're not like buddies that hang out together and go fishing and stuff. So I don't know a ton about his family, but I know Brandon's a good guy.
His kids are nice and good.
He has a good wife, and he raises kids that are, they contribute to society.
Mm-hmm.
They go to college. They're kids that, you know, try hard. I feel the same way with my kids in that, you know, none of them have ever been arrested. None of them have been in jail or taken drugs or, mm-hmm. I'm pretty proud of that fact. And the fact that I had 5 kids and every one of them, I feel like, makes our society better.
Yeah.
And so for someone like this lady from Oregon to say, oh, shame on you for having a lot of kids. I don't get that.
I think if you can support them and you're not on, you know, public assistance and you're not doing it just for a paycheck, then I think you can have as many as you feel comfortable. Like, my ideal number was honestly 4. Uh-huh. Like, that's what I wanted to have. And then I love babies so much. So when my ex-husband said, can we just have one more?
Wait, was it about babies or was it about having a child?
It's about babies. I love babies. Like, if I would have realized that it's a never-ending process, I'd
problem
know.
With babies, they're like puppies and kittens. They grow up.
I know. They're so cute, though. And I do have to report that my one daughter that I was having so much trouble with got a job.
Yay!
And she starts on Tuesday. So
this is an adult child, 21-year-old child.
Yeah.
So you're off the hook for the $300,000 now because she's an adult.
Oh, yes. And I think I have put at least that in with her, though.
At least.
But, yeah. So they can be taught, and sometimes they just have to have a little bit of tough love. So
I kind of feel like you do as far as when we're talking number of children. I just feel like, look, if you can raise your children properly and if you can have them be a positive influence on society. Now, if you're not prepared as a parent to raise children, like I said on Friday, it's easy to be a parent. I mean, it takes very little effort, if you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If you end up raising your kids and they turn out to be criminals, and you know, I think of Gary Gilmore's parents, and I hate to blame people, but you know, if your kid's a murderer, maybe you did something wrong along the way. Not for sure, not guaranteed. It could be a mental defect, but there's a chance anyway that you did something wrong. But anyway, I really feel like if you can raise your kids so that they are good kids who contribute to society and are not a detriment or not causing the police to come over and are not, you know, taking, you know, lots of drugs and stuff. I think that it's a good thing to have big families. I like it.
I think it teaches you a lot as a person, having a bigger family. I had three sisters and a brother growing up, and I learned a lot about interacting with people, how to negotiate, how to barter, how to, you know, get along with different types of personalities. Like, I think it helped me.
Now, what number were you amongst the five?
I was the fourth, but my mom had three really close, like all within a year and a half. And then she had a miscarriage, like at 5 months. Right before me, so there was like a 4-year gap. I was kind of like another first, almost, just because she lost a baby. And
by the way, I'm fourth out of five as well.
Oh, you are.
Good spot to be in.
That is good.
We're not quite the spoiled baby, youngest, but we did have the opportunity to learn from the mistakes our older siblings made.
And I did. I did. Yeah. I had a sister who was into a lot of bad things. And I was like, I saw what happened. I saw how my parents reacted to it. And I was like, I am not going to do that to my parents. I didn't.
It's funny because my oldest got a lot of punishment. He knew how to push my buttons. But his next two brothers looked at what he did and went, okay, I know what not to do. And they rarely got punished for anything, the two of them, because they saw their brother like, I don't want to do that.
And I don't know. I don't know how you were as a parent, but with my older kids, I was like Johnny on it. And they didn't.
True.
I didn't
it's
let
true.
Them make any mistakes, really. I don't think I was as good of a parent as I'm evolving to be, because they were kind of like my test run of being a mom and how I thought I needed to do it versus kind of letting them come into their own choices.
Tell me if this rings a bell. So with our oldest, AJ, we spent an hour or two a day when he was one trying to teach him how to walk. I mean, that was so important to us. We wanted him to learn how to walk. It was just, and then by kid four and five, I'm like, please don't walk yet, because when they start walking, they get into more trouble.
Yeah,
we're like, take your time, we're good, you know.
Exactly.
So you slow down, you decelerate the teaching them how to walk. Although you do accelerate the potty training.
Yes, you're a little more apt to do that.
Yeah, others come along. So anyway, it's all about parenting. But again, I thought that was interesting. The Gallup poll says nearly half of all respondents said two children is the ideal number.
Well, it makes. Like for traveling, it's a lot more affordable to travel, right? Yeah. For your vehicles, you can just get a little sedan. Like there are a lot of cost savings for just having a couple kids. When I had our fifth kid is when we had to get the big minivan.
The big one, yeah.
Which, you know, I loved. I even bought one just a couple years ago and drove it around for a while. They're so roomy.
I still have a little bit of sadness in my life because when we had our fifth kid, we got a full-size van, a big one, a Ford Econoline.
Oh.
And I got personalized plates because I was so proud of this big van called, and it was GRFMBL, the Griffmobile. And it was beautiful. And for like a year, I was so proud. It was, you know, silver with blue stripes, and it had a mag. It was just, and then it blew. I forget the clinical name, and mechanics out there will know, but it blew a cylinder, and it would have been, the repair would have been like $3,000-something. And I'm like,
ouch.
Yeah, we're just going to sell it as is and buy something else because, but the Griffmobile was
I love that
awesome.
Tagline. That's great.
Yeah, the Griffmobile. But I still have the license plate, by the way, from it.
You should.
But I don't have the van anymore. It's long gone. So, all right, we got to get a weather break in. When we come back, I want to talk about this miracle drug that no one's heard of. What? Yeah, it can cure, maybe, probably. Some forms of cancer. It can make your chronic pain go away, and yet it has been buried by Big Pharma. I'll talk about that and more when we come back. This is the Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, welcome back. I'm Andy. It's 9:36. We are going to talk about DMSO in a minute, but I didn't want to preface it by saying if anybody has any more, I've read three or four articles now about it, and I'm still trying to figure out why they're not talking about it, why this stuff isn't more important. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But if anybody maybe has studied this more than I have, please call or text. 673-5890 is the phone number to call in. If you would rather not talk but would like to text me about it, it's 467-5842. DMSO, the clinical name is, I knew I was going to do this, Mello. I was like, yeah.
It's too long of a name for me to recall.
Oh, here we go. Dimethylsulfoxide. Dimethylsulfoxide. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but I did want to read you the story from The Wire this morning. This one blew me away for two reasons. Number one, that it happened. Number two, nobody's talking about it. Mm-hmm. So here we go. I'm going to read it. This is straight from The Wire this morning. The Wisconsin teen charged with killing his mother and stepfather is now accused of plotting to kill President Donald Trump. There are newly unsealed federal court documents from an FBI case against Nikita Kassip. Investigators say they believe the 17-year-old killed his parents to obtain the financial means to carry out his plan. Kassip allegedly killed them in February, eventually stealing the family's car and driving through multiple states before being arrested in Kansas. According to the FBI, the teen was messaging with someone. He had a friend, apparently. He planned to use a drone in the Trump attack that would drop a bomb with nuts, bolts, and needles and then flee to Ukraine.
What?
No details have been released on where or when Kassip allegedly planned to target the president. He's already facing multiple charges in Wisconsin, including two counts of first-degree homicide, and has been bound over to jury trial by a Waukesha County judge. Why is nobody talking about this? What, I mean, this seems like kind of a big deal.
I haven't heard about that.
He murdered his parents, and then he was driving to D.C. to drop a bomb on the president of the United States.
And he's 17.
And nobody's talking. I'm like, this is big. This is...
I say skip the trial and just put him on the front lines of the Ukraine war.
Ooh, drop him on something, maybe from a drone.
Oh.
No. Yeah, or send him to Ukraine and let him go fight.
Yeah, if that's what he wants, let him have his dream.
It's unbelievable.
I can't even. That's nonsensical. That doesn't make any sense.
Jimmy Kesson on his political report this morning on the show said it is amazing to him how many times the rhetoric you hear from the left about, quote, unquote, getting rid of the president.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying it over and over again. These are high-level politicians like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, and they keep saying things like that. They don't come out and out and say, like the mafia, you know, they hide. They use code mm-hmm. to say what they're thinking. But if you already hate Trump, and then one of your politicians, maybe you're from San Francisco, and Nancy says, hey, we ought to get rid of this president.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you're going to do something like this Kassip guy in mm-hmm. Wisconsin.
Another thing that I heard was that the reporters and stuff that knew that Biden was not doing as well didn't report on it because they didn't want to help Trump look better.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is terrible.
True story.
Like, why not just report the truth? That's what the news is supposed to be.
That was what the news was.
Yeah.
It's not what the news is anymore.
No, yeah. It's terrible. Like, you need to tell them the facts and then let people make their own decisions.
So, anyway, they have this guy in custody, but I'm thinking, okay, this was one guy that they caught.
Mm-hmm.
How many others are out there are planning something or working on something or... It just boggles the mind, and it scares me, kind of.
But why kill your parents?
He said he killed them because he needed their money and their car. That's why he did it.
That's horrible.
You got to figure this kid's pretty mentally imbalanced.
Right.
If he would kill his parents and then head to D.C. to go kill the president.
I am guessing he was an only child.
I wondered.
Because a sibling would have turned him in real fast.
I still have, you know, we talk about, for whatever reason last night, hanging out with friends and family, the subject of death came up in the final hours of people's lives and stuff. And, of course, still smarting a little bit. It's been 5 years since my mom passed away, almost 5 years, but still, I still think about that a lot. But, you start talking about death and you just go, all right, well, this is, I guess what brought it about was my father-in-law is in bad shape. He's got dementia and he is.
Sorry.
Yeah, he is. He needs to be in a home. They haven't put him in one yet.
Mm-hmm.
His wishes were to stay in his house as long as he could, which complicates things, right?
Yeah.
And I will admonish folks this. Make sure that you make your plans known early You know, when you retire, write a living will, write a regular will, a trust, whatever it is, so that people know. Because you never know when you're going to slip into, like, we want to ask him so many questions, the sane, my sane father-in-law, so many questions, but he's not there anymore.
No, and it's hard. It's hard. I've experienced that in my own family. And then also, like, trying to get, because my parents did a really good job for their plans, right? They've already purchased their plots. They already purchased their headstone. They already purchased their caskets. Like, everything's already paid for. So when my mom passed away unexpectedly just a couple years ago, everything was already in place.
That's cool.
And so I'm looking to do that for my kids, because I just had a cousin die just a couple months ago, and she was younger than me, just unexpectedly. And it's crazy how much it actually costs. And to leave that burden on your family is something I don't want to do. So I'm hoping I'm not going to be an early outer, but I do want to be prepared.
I'm not trying to promote the funeral services industry, but I will tell you, prepaid funerals are very smart, because you pay today's prices. You don't know what's going to happen to prices in the next 5 or 10 years. And like you said, to have that already kind of taken care of. I mean, you still got to fill in a few blanks, but for the most part, to have it already taken is a pretty big deal.
Agreed. Yeah.
Kudos to my dad. My dad has done that too. After my mom died, he's like, you know what? I want to get all this prepaid so that when it comes, when it happens, my dad will turn 90 next month. He said, but when it happens, you guys won't have to do much at all. And you certainly won't have to pay.
My dad's already lined out who's speaking at his funeral.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they pick music too? Does he have songs?
I think he does. And I want to go ahead and do the history of his life with him too. Cause that was kind of hard to figure out with my mom when she passed away, trying to fill in the holes. Cause she was the family historian.
Yeah. So. I had to, my grandfather, I did his eulogy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a radio guy. I want him to do it, but that was tough because a couple things. Number one, you have to go back and you have to get the accurate stories. And I love my grandpa, immensely, but he had a tendency to exaggerate. And so I had to separate the stories I had heard from the actual events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at some point he had owned a race car that was in sprint races, and somehow that got commuted. I don't know how it came, but that he was a race car driver. He never drove the race car. He just owned the race car, and other people drove it. But we all thought he was a race car driver. And yeah, but some of the things he really did, he played the drums and was in a band, and he helped build the American Fork Senior Center. He's the fire chief of American Fork, and I mean, that's some pretty cool stuff. But
It's hard to be the one to speak at the funerals. I've done that a couple times too. Yeah. So good job on that. That's not an easy thing to do.
That was a big job. Honestly, I don't remember it much. I'm sure I did. And I went through and found old newspaper clippings and all kinds of stuff I could, but I don't remember that much about it. You know, it was really hard though. Was, and I didn't do this, but my grandmother had passed away on my dad's side a few years before that. I think 3 years earlier. Well, she had lived her life, as his support. And so finding stuff that was just about her and not about him, whoever did the eulogy, they had their work cut out for him because it was tough. Like, I remember them saying a couple of things. She helped support Leroy, which was my grandpa, in him building the senior center. I'm like, wait, that's just talking about him. Can't we say something about her?
But
She did make a mean coffee cake though. All right, quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about DMSO. I did get a couple of texts. We'll look at those and evaluate those. This is supposedly, I've not tried it, so I'm not endorsing it necessarily, but this DMSO is kind of a miracle drug from what I'm hearing. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back, 948 on KDXU. I, for the life of me, have done as much research as you can do online and not found any major negativity to a drug called dimethyl sulfoxide. And Mello, I mean, I'd never even heard of this stuff.
I have not either.
But there's an article on, this is a pretty cool article on, let me find it exactly the spot. It's on lourockwell.com. It is written by a Midwestern doctor. By the way, I know people are I don't want to say. I actually subscribe to a newsletter from a guy called a Midwestern doctor. I don't even know his real name, but his articles are fascinating. Every single day I get one in my inbox and I'm able to read them. And I know there's like Substack things and I'm not really into that, mm-hmm. All I know is I signed up and I get his thing every day. But he says he's been working very hard to get the public's attention to dimethyl sulfoxide, a forgotten natural therapy, which rapidly treats a wider range of conditions. Now, listen to the list of things it can make a difference in. Number one, stroke and paralysis. Number two, sprains, concussions, and burns, skin problems. Chronic pain, such as back pain and knee pain. I have both of those. Wide range of autoimmune diseases. Variety of head conditions, such as tinnitus. Imagine you get the buzzing in your ears to go away. Mm-hmm. Vision loss, dental problems, sinusitis. Internal organ diseases, such as pancreatitis, infertility, liver cirrhosis, and endometriosis. Mm-hmm. A wide range of skin conditions, such as burns. I know you can relate to that. varicose veins, acne, hair loss, etc. And many challenging infections. And I'm like, well, okay. So we have this seemingly miracle drug. Why is nobody talking about it? And by the way, it causes a wide range of cancer cells to transform back into regular cells.
Oh.
Wait, this sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. What's the problem with it? Well, I looked and looked and looked for side effects, and I couldn't find any side effects. I'm like, I mean, they're minor. The side effects are like you might have a garlic taste in your mouth. That's one of the side effects.
Oh.
Oh, that's terrible. Garlic taste.
It wouldn't make a very good commercial if you couldn't say all the things that'll be bad for you.
I know. It's crazy. So I found a little video, and now I can't find it again. I just barely found it, and now I've lost it again. Mm-hmm. I once was lost, and now I'm found. Anyway, I found a little video on it. This is from 1980. And I am going to play part of it if, in fact, I can actually find it. But right now I can't find it. So, someone texted in and said, I worked in Salt Lake in the 70s, and the 50-year-old tradesmen used to use DMSO among them. It's an industrial solvent, and when they applied it to their shoulders, they would immediately taste it. That alone worried me. That's from Ryan. Now, it does. One of the characteristics of this DMSO is it absorbs extremely quickly, and so you will taste a garlic taste right away. And it is, yes, also used as an industrial solvent. It's actually based off of the residue from wood, from paper products, and so you know there are some things you go, I don't know about, but honestly, I have yet to find one really negative thing about it. Is it negative because the you know, the taste? Is that the reason why we should? Now, like fluoride, remember we've banned fluoride now here in the state of Utah. Like fluoride, they've said that too much of this can be bad for you, but if you use it in the proper amounts, whether as a topical cream or as an internal medicine, it can help you with your things like chronic pain and organ disease. And I'm just like, okay, I want to try this stuff. If there have been, and remember, this has been around since the mid-60s, and so I'm thinking to myself, look, if it's been around since the mid-60s, they've done all kinds of tests on it, and they can't find any major negative things about it, well, why can't I try it? It seems like something that I should be able to try, shouldn't it? I mean, seems like it to me. But anyway, DMSO is what it is. Let's see. There was another thing I was going to read about it. So in the 60s, they tested it on a whole bunch of different people. And, Mello, we have a couple of calls, right?
Yeah, we have a caller on line one and two.
Okay, well, maybe they know more about DMSO than I do. So let's go to line one first. Yeah. Hi, you're on on the Annie Griffin Show. We've got about 7 minutes left. What's up?
DMSO has been around forever. I used to sell veterinary medicine another lifetime ago. And we used to sell that to large animal veterinarians, small animal veterinarians, for use of all those things you've talked about.
So are you aware of any, like, really negative effects of it?
I've not heard of any other than maybe the garlic taste.
Yeah.
But here again, we only sold it for the use of animals. But I have, selling veterinary medicine, had a lot of vets say, oh, yeah, you know, I use this for my own pain or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's been around forever. It's a great product.
I get knee pain every night. Bad enough knee pain that it wakes me up in the middle of a sleep, and I'm thinking, you know, if I could have a little cream to put on my knees where it wouldn't wake me up, that sounds good to me. You know, I don't care about garlic.
Nope, it's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You bet. Bye.
All right, we'll go to line two. Is this Crow?
It is.
Hey, Crow, how you doing? Congratulations, by the way, on receiving the Lifetime Achievement Award for Junior College. Man, that's awesome, dude.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. But I was going to say to you, where were you for all those years? DMSO has been used for athletes for years. And they
really?
deemed it illegal. It was originally, I believe, used in horse liniment.
Hmm.
And they used it on racehorses. My grandfather-in-law was a racehorse trainer, and they used it, and he used to rub it on his arthritic knees and fingers and whatever. And then I have a great story. I don't know how much time you have, but Doug Allred was a big user of DMSO, and Lionel Hollins was probably one of the greatest basketball players ever at Dixie College.
Yeah, they all train. Yep.
Sprained his ankle, and Doug, I was driving down to California, and he said, go by the Intermountain Farmers. And he bought horse liniment, and he rubbed it on Lionel's ankle and put an ace bandage on it and poured it on there. And Lionel kept saying, oh, this is really stinging. And Doug said, well, it's because it's working.
Mm.
Well, by the time we got back to St. George, Lionel had no skin left on his ankle.
Oh.
So it took him way longer to heal from the skin than it did from the ankle injury. But, yeah, it's been used by athletes for years.
Did you say they banned it, though?
Garlic is a very kind word because people that use it call it doggy breath.
Oh. well, yeah, I know a lot of people that let their dogs lick their faces, so I guess
yeah.
It could be worse.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And the funny thing is, if you've used it, which I, you know, have over the years, and somebody opens a bottle, you'll get that taste in your mouth without even putting it on yet.
Without even touching it, just...
Oh, yeah, just the fumes or whatever. But, yeah, it's, like I say, it's been used for many, many years for athletes and horses.
Well, let me ask you, Crow, I get sore knees at night. It wakes me up in the middle of a dead sleep because my knees are aching so bad. Would you recommend that?
Absolutely. I still do, and I certainly would. But, for years it was deemed illegal for athletes. I don't know. This was really an amazing story to listen to, you guys, because I always thought I was, having to hide it under the guys treating my horses. But I would suggest, from my experience, it's great for all those things. I didn't know about all those other things you read off, but I know arthritis and achy knees. I've had bad knees for eternity, and it definitely helps. So I don't know if I want to go on the record of saying, I'm not a doctor, but I would certainly use it.
All right.
Do use it.
Nice.
Thanks, Crow. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, hey, great subject. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. Coach Greg Croshaw, longtime coach of Dixie Junior College and Dixie College and Dixie State College, and one, I want to say his win-to-loss ratio was something like 7-1 or something.
Nice.
It was amazing numbers. So, and he recently received an award, and he's going to go back east and accept that award as a guy who won a lot of football games.
That's fantastic.
And I know when I came to town, he was one of the first guys I got to know. And you know what? Crow is Crow. He is who he is.
That's awesome.
I love that.
Hey, there was one other thing I'd recently heard about for pain, because you were talking about pain, and that's if you get an avocado pit and you chop it up really, really small, and you get 30 milliliters of rubbing alcohol and put that diced up pit in there and let it, ferment.
How do you chop up an avocado pit, though? They're hard as rocks.
Okay, well, you fast
you
and pray about
hammer
it
and
figure it out. You just chop it up.
Okay.
And then you put it in there, and then that mixture, you can either spray it or rub it on. Like, you drain out the pit, right, after somebody told me 24 hours and somebody told me a week. They both used it and it worked. Mm. And then you rub it on the area of pain and the pain goes away.
It's like a pomegranate. My wife, so we have, our neighbor has a pomegranate tree, but it hangs over into our yard. And one time my wife's like, I'm going to make pomegranate jelly or jam. So she goes to the neighbor and says, hey, can we get some of these pomegranates that are hanging over in our yard? The neighbor's like, oh, please take them all. And we didn't know why they would say that until we, you know, busted them open and tried to make jelly out of them and realized that that's a lot of work.
A lot of work.
Little teeny seeds everywhere and mm-hmm. stuff. But I did make, I'm proud to say, I did make pomegranate jelly barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
And it was good.
That sounds delicious.
In fact, I couldn't keep it in stock, as they say, because everybody came and ate it all the time. So.
Awesome.
DMS. So honestly, guys, I might be your guinea pig. I might go. And by the way, I looked into it. The only place that I could see, and I might be wrong here. Maybe there's other places, but the only place I could see in the area that has DMSO is Tractor Supply Store.
Yeah.
So, which I don't know if there, is there one of those in St. George? You have to go to. Oh, it's in Hurricane. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go, Tractor Supply Store.
Yeah, get some and test it out.
I'm gonna put it on my knees. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no long-term harmful effects, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm loving it.
Doggy breath. Expect me to have doggy breath soon. Mello, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
We're out of time. Tomorrow, we will hear from a Washington County commissioner in the state of the county. It's coming up on the show tomorrow. Thanks for listening.